The following program is for entertainment and basic informational purposes only. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of Cumulus Media, WPRV Radio, its management, or staff. This is Rhode Island's longest-running financial talk show, Money Talk with Don Soa. With market insights and so much more, talk to Don now at 437-5000 or 1-888-345-0790. This is Money Talk with Don Soa.
Howdy, everybody. Welcome to the Money Talk program. This is Don Soa. Glad to have you here with me during your drive time home. The station here is AM 790, the home of talking business, and we are taking calls during the course of this hour. Do so safely if you're in your car driving. That may not be the best place to do it, but if you do call in and chat with our producer, please just give him your question, and he'll plug it into my screen. However, if you are in a safe location and it's not, you're not going to be challenged by driving, let him know that, and we'll get you on the air, and we'll have a little chat about things that may be hopefully very, very important to you and the decisions you're trying to make about your money. We've been in a volatile market. We've been, you know, we talk about volatility, not always a bad thing. I mean, volatility on the upside is good. Volatility on the downside, I guess we view it as bad. But when you do have volatility on the downside, oftentimes it brings pricing for various stocks into line, perhaps where they should be. Sometimes things get a little bit out of kilter, and it does, in fact, create some buying opportunities at more favorable pricing. The low-hanging fruit in the market we've been looking at the last year or two, a lot of it has been picked. That doesn't mean there's not upside opportunities. But what happens is everybody looks more closely in an environment where the price-to-earnings ratios, the price of a stock divided by its earnings, become higher and higher. And as they get closer to the averages and then move slightly higher than the averages, averages being in the 16 to 18 range for the PEs, as they do that, then people start to think, well, Jesus, limited upside potential for me here. Should I really be making an investment in this area? That is the environment, that is the attitude that moves a number of investors from pure growth investments over to the types of stocks that generate some income. So there are a great many stocks out there in the market that pay a dividend quarterly. Some of them are pretty impressive. Companies like Verizon and AT&T and a number of other companies pay 2.5%, 3%, even 4% dividend. There's ways to get a little bit of stable and dependable income, even in a stock market that doesn't guarantee to you that it's going to raise your share price. Now, this has been a good year for the stock market, and a number of you investors can look at your mid-year statements. Certainly, they came in here in the month of July, right around the second week. You probably got them in the mail. Certainly, if you're online, they're certainly available to you at the end of June. And you did pretty well. You've had a pretty good 6 months. July itself has been pretty good overall. But the Dow today, we had a lot of bouncing around. Dow closed 85 points higher, reaching a record high. Boeing contributing the most to those gains. Now, remember, there's only 30 companies in the Dow. So, yeah, if you have a big company like Boeing or any number of companies, including Apple or others that are part of the Dow, if they have a big day, that alone can push the stock price, the price for the index higher. The S&P 500, it was actually down about 0.1%, small number. But, again, they are the 500 largest companies in the United States. So, yeah, it takes one stock having a good or bad day isn't going to have as big an effect on an index with 500 different companies in it. Now, if you have an index like the NASDAQ, which is even bigger than the S&P 500, then the effect of one stock may be minimal, but the effect of an overall sector can have a big impact even on an index like the NASDAQ. And it went down about 0.6% today after rising about 0.4% to an all-time high before falling back. How's that for volatility in any one day? And of course, you're going to have really big companies in the NASDAQ, like the what we call the FANGs, Facebook and Apple and Netflix and Google and Amazon.com. Tech faced some pressure. Investors, after having a fabulous period really since the elections last November, they've had a nice run-up in a lot of these companies, sizable profits. And some people decided to take some of those sizable profits off the table after pretty strong earnings from companies who have been announced in this space. And, you know, as strong as those earnings numbers are, the question that they will always ask themselves is, okay, we've done well. We've made a lot of money here. just how long can this really go? We have not had a recession since 07, 08. The last major bear market was 07, 08. We've had some pullbacks along the way, but we even have not really had a meaningful correction of any kind, certainly not for any calendar year. But, you know, it's the nature of the beast. And some people do get to a point where they say, geez, am I just being greedy? I mean, if I'm up 50%, I'm up 60% in that one stock or perhaps that index fund or whatever it is that you've been doing well in, or your overall portfolio. You may ask yourself, okay, I'm sitting on 80% stocks and maybe 20% bonds and alternatives. 80% stocks at my age at this point, should I really be making a move here? Should I be maybe taking some of that cash, turning it over into cash? You know, cash can be king in the future. And by the way, if I move some of it, not all, but some of it to cash, and there is a little bit of a sell-off in key strategic areas of the market, is that going to create a great opportunity for me to buy? What difference does it make if an opportunity for me to buy is created if I don't have any cash? And, of course, you, by taking a proactive decision in your asset allocation, deciding to take some money and move to cash, that means that you've taken assets that have had a nice run-up. You've converted that paper gain into a real gain. And yes, if it's a taxable portfolio, unlike an IRA, but if it's, say, a regular joint account or an individual account, you may have some tax liability to think about. So hopefully, if you're selling any of these high-priced, profitable stocks with substantially embedded capital gains, hopefully you've owned those stocks for at least a year or more so that you can qualify for long-term capital gains treatment, which is going to be less expensive at tax time. Not a bad idea, huh? So, as I mentioned, technology has faced pressure. Profits coming off the table, strong earnings from companies have created those profits. I guess they will question whether those earnings are sustainable moving forward. Shares of companies like Facebook jumped more than 5% before pulling back to a daily gain of less than 3%. The social media giant reported second quarter earnings per share of $1.32 on revenue of $9.32 billion. Analysts polled by Reuters had expected that the company was going to post earnings of about $1.13 a share on perhaps sales of $9.2. So the numbers on both top-line revenue as well as net profits beat estimates, did very nicely. The company also reported better-than-expected monthly active users, which is a very important metric that they use for Facebook to determine what their ongoing and future potential revenues can look like. Wedbush Securities analyst Michael Pachter, he said in a note on Thursday that he expects Facebook to pretty much fend off any realistic competition. Its initiatives around the camera in augmented reality, those things can leverage its massive user base and the suite of applications that it has to streamline adoption and drive higher engagement. All fancy terminology for the number of people that are actually going to be using the products and services that a company like Facebook makes available. Now, Facebook stock is one of the best performing stocks in the S&P 500 this year. It's gained about 44% during the time period. So since January, it's up rather dramatically. Now, PayPal also reported quarterly results that beat expectations. That sent mobile payments company's stock 1% higher. The S&P itself just marginally higher than it was about 6 days ago after the steep run-up from, say, July the 11th to July the 20th. But now some signs of technology attempting to, as they push higher, are yet again helping some of the indexes, the U.S. indices. Mark Newton, who's a managing member at Newton Advisors, has been touting this side of the market, indicating the periods in which you have a big upside move and then maybe a little bit of a pullback. Tech has been the stalwart, pretty much, of the U.S. stock market this year anyway. The sector has actually spiked 23% in 2017. Easily outperforming most other sectors that are out there. Now, overall, the earnings season, has been pretty positive. Most 500 companies of the S&P 500 have been topping profit as well as sales estimates. However, a lot of companies aren't necessarily reinvesting their capital into themselves, according to analysts over at Charles Schwab. That may be an important indicator of where these companies are going and plan to go in the future. Folks, you're listening to the Money Talk program on AM 790. I'm Don Sowa. Thanks for tuning in. I'm going to be right back, so stick around.
It's time for the Dunkin' Donuts Regional Traffic, brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. It's the summer of coffee at Dunkin'. Try a new s'mores frozen Dunkin' coffee, butter pecan iced coffee, or coconut cream pie cold brew today. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Real heavy coming in on 195 West from the Seekonk line into the split due to an earlier problem on 95 northbound that keeps you hung up and slow there. As we come up 95 northbound through 37 all the way up past Thurber's Curve and into downtown, you're busy and slow through there. Coming down the southbound side out of Pawtucket, sluggish. Gets heavy as you get by Branch Ave, stays that way down through downtown, down to 10 in Cranston. 6 inbound, still busy as you go by 10 all the way into the merge with 95. 295 northbound, heavy from 37 up to Plainfield Pike. I'm Rich Teeter with your Right Now Traffic.
Sponsored by the Knee and Back Pain Helpline. Learn how an insurance-covered comfortable knee or back brace can reduce your pain. Call 800-888-KNEE, 800-888-KNEE.
Hey folks, Travis here from Bruno & Co. Auctioneers. Join us Thursday, July 27th between 3 and 6 p.m. at the Hamilton House in Providence for verbal appraisals on your antiques and collectibles. We are always looking for antiques and art, but especially now we are interested in your comic book collections in your attic or basement. You know you have been staring at them for years. Call us at 533-9980 to schedule a free in-home evaluation and be sure to visit our website, brunoandco.com.
That's B-R-U-N-E-A-U.
Too hot, too cold, too dry, too dusty, or too damp? Sound like your home or business? Call Continental Heating and Cooling, your indoor air quality specialists. Rhode Island's only Lennox Premier dealer and one of the oldest, most respected heating and air conditioning companies. They'll make sure your indoor air quality is the best it can be. Call 233-COOL today to schedule a free evaluation for your home or business. No obligation. Interest-free financing and rebates available. ContinentalENG.com.
This is your Bloomberg Real Estate Report. I'm Denise Pellegrini. Bomb shelters are selling like crazy right now as North Korea's leader appears to be continuing development of a missile that can hit the U.S. But the biggest surge for shelters is coming from a country that's been within North Korea's striking distance for some time now.
Much of that interest is coming from Japan.
Bloomberg's Justin Mattingly.
Atlas Survival Shelters, for example, actually has some offices that have opened up in Japan.
California-based Atlas makes about a dozen different underground shelters designed to be inhabited for 6 months to a year.
The Bomb NATO, which is tested against the Army Corps of Engineers studies from back during the Cold War, that costs about $19,000. Some of these shelters, you know, are up into the millions.
Mattingly says add in other manufacturers, including Texas-based Rising S, and the shelters will include just about any amenity you want.
There are some shelters that have gun ranges in them. There are certain shelters where you can store your Porsche.
And that's your Bloomberg Real Estate Report. I'm Denise Pellegrini.
There's absolutely nothing traditional about my small business. And when it comes to technology, I need someone who understands my unique needs. That's where my Dell Small Business Technology Advisor comes in. With one phone call, he sets me up with tailored products and services. And when my advisor is focused on my tech, I can focus on my small business.
Get end-to-end solutions with the help of a Dell Advisor, including PCs featuring Intel Core processors. Call an advisor today at 877-BY-DELL.
When you're hiring for a growing business, you don't need lots of candidates. You need the right candidates. You need Indeed.com. With an algorithm that positions your job post where quality candidates are and screener questions that help you zero in on the best talent. Indeed.com, the site proven through an independent study to deliver five times more hires than any other. New users claim your $50 credit for a sponsored job at Indeed.com/credit. Indeed, the world's number one job site. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
This is Money Talk with Don Sowa, exclusively on AM 790 Talk and Business.
And we welcome you back to the Money Talk program. I've just been giving a little bit of a news update at the beginning of a lot of our shows. We go to the CNBC daily news briefing, as I call it, and give you some sense of what's been happening in the market and maybe why. Sometimes they don't always have the information. We also take calls here on the Money Talk program locally at 437-5000 and toll-free at 888-345-0790. And our producer just told me we do have a caller from East Greenwich on the line. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call. I don't know if you can answer this question for me or not, but I think you might be able to. My sister and I were, my parents put their house in our names about 10 years ago, and my parents are still alive. They're very elderly. When the time comes when my parents pass away, my sister and I, we don't have any use for the house because we both have our own homes. We were thinking about selling it. Now, my question to you would be, would we have to pay a 30% inheritance tax on that?
No. The state of Rhode Island and, well, southern New England do not have inheritance tax.
Oh, we don't?
No, there's no inheritance tax. What you will do is you'll have to look at the value of the home, and this is something that a real estate professional could help you with. An estimate.
Okay.
Get to look at the value of the home back in the year that you actually received. Well, I'm going to say received constructive receipt of the asset. The asset this here being the real estate. So you look at the year in which the house was deeded to you and your sister.
Okay.
And then basically, if you sell the property, you know, you're going to get a step up to that particular time. Ultimately, if you sell the house after your parents have passed away, normally that you'd be a step up in basis. In this particular case here, the one thing you might have to be concerned about, and you could talk to this would be the year that you actually have your taxes done by an accountant, you know, someone,
right. Yeah,
because this is going to be a little bit complicated. But when you sell the house, there's going to be a embedded capital gain. You've actually owned the house now for a few years. The house was gifted. The house was gifted to you. So what you're gonna? The reason I said you're gonna want to work with probably a professional is to find out what the house, what your parents might have paid for the house originally.
Okay.
And find out how much work was done on the house over the many, many years probably that they owned it.
Okay.
And any work you may have done in it yourself, because you're gonna remember when you sell the house, all of those issues contribute to the current value of the property. So you're trying to establish, in other words, what the cost basis of the house is. Now, if you had inherited it from your parents, that's a different scenario. An inheritance is what happens upon their death. In the will, it says, I give my home to our two daughters. They can sell it. They can do what they want equally, but you each have a 50% interest. The step-up means whatever the value of the property was on the day that your parents died, that's the cost basis. So if you sell it for the same amount, there's no tax. Now, in your case, because they put your names on the house, it was a gift.
Right.
It was a gift.
Okay.
So essentially, what you're going to do with the professional, with the help of a realtor perhaps, or the CPA, is come up with a base, and the IRS is pretty fair about this. They're not going to try to beat you up over it, but you come up with a good faith effort to figure out what the basis is, and that is what your parents paid for it, and all of the money that has gone into the property over the years, including replacement of things like the furnace or the hot water heater and new windows, floor work, I mean, anything, even painting that has been done over the years, a new deck on the house, landscaping that
vinyl.
Vinyl siding, landscaping to improve the beauty of it. Remember, what it looks like, curb appeal, as they call it. That's all part of the valuation. So, yes, you're going to be guessing what some of these prices are. I understand that. But whatever records your parents might have had wouldn't hurt either. But you calculate all of that. And let's say I'm just going to throw some numbers at you. Let's say your appraisal on the house was, say, $400,000.
Okay.
If your parents bought the house for $100,000, and over the years between you and them, another $100,000 was put into it, to get it to its quality today, that means the cost basis is approximately $200,000. If you sell it now at $400,000, the $200,000, the basis is...
Promo code SAVE.
It's subtracted.
Here's the scoop on garden soil.
Sometimes we actually got a little interference.
Okay.
The producer has a buddy in the other room, and he's just yelling through the phone. No, but what I'm saying is you subtract the cost basis from the sales price, and that becomes your capital gain. And the good news about capital gains is that that's the lowest tax rate you pay. Right now, it's about 15% federal. So if whatever you sell it for, you and your sister are going to get to keep most of the money that represents the sales price after you. And so, but just you get creative with your tax professional, and they'll help you reduce the tax liability as much as is legally possible.
All right. Well,
all right.
Thank you very much, Mr. So. I enjoy listening to your show. I listen to it every day.
Uh-huh.
And you've answered my question for me.
Thank you so much. Take care. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to the Money Talk program. This is AM 790, and the local number to call if you have a question is 437-5000. And the toll-free number is 888-345-0700. Eddie, what are we doing? Do we want to continue going on here? Did we go over somehow? Or are we interfering with somebody else's show over there? We have no idea. But anyway, before we went to the break, before we went to the caller, we've actually got a couple of calls online also. And two of the questions I'm going to try to address in the second half of the show today deal, number one, a couple of frequently asked questions related to reverse mortgages, interestingly enough. Again, someone asking questions about a reverse mortgage they already have, which I thought was fascinating. And the second question does deal with an issue of some inheritance that a person received, and they want to know how that inheritance might potentially affect their 2017 tax liability. I guess we should all have such big problems worrying about how much taxes we're going to pay on money that we inherited. But, I mean, that's okay, too. I mean, that's part of real life. And now as the baby boomer generation is getting older, and some of us still have parents, God bless us, you know, with us and around, but they're getting on in years, and so there's a lot of money transisting from one generation to the next. So people shouldn't be overly surprised as those realities do tend to emerge. We're talking a little bit about, you know, what's been driving these markets lately. And, of course, the dynamics that do occur out there. There's a gentleman named Omar Aguilar who's he's a chief investment officer over at Charles Schwab. And he says that a large part of the volatility we're seeing in earnings and the way they're behaving with capital that they do have, he was the one that noted in a recent study that, and for his own analysts, he said that a lot of these companies are not reinvesting the capital that they're earning during very, very good earnings years. They're keeping their cash close to the vest, shall we say. That has a lot to do with what's going on in Washington, according to Aguilar. He's referring, of course, to the uncertainty around the implementation of perhaps tax reform, as well as other fiscal stimulus programs that have been part of the conversation coming out of the Trump administration. He also said that the market could face a bit of a correction or a pullback at very least, perhaps later this year, if it becomes clear that any of these programs that could stimulate growth or stimulate jobs potentially may not occur. If tax reform doesn't occur, if there's no serious discussion about even future plans for infrastructure spending, for example, if those things don't happen, if you don't see a lot of conversation related to financial services industry reforms, such as banking, and adjustments, not at the removal or elimination, but adjustments to perhaps the Dodd-Frank bill. There's a lot of pages in that bill. Not all of the elements to it have been fully implemented yet. And some of them have gotten a little carried away with themselves as the conservatives think that too much regulation is not good. It's certainly not good in areas like banking. Making sure the banks are not too big to fail, making sure the banks are behaving properly. But at the same time, there's such a thing as over-regulating and making it difficult for big banks and even mid-sized and small banks to compete. Now, in economic news, initial jobless claims came in right around 244,000, which is slightly above the 240,000 that was expected. Durable goods orders rose 6.5% in the month of June. Now, the data was released a day after the Federal Reserve said that it could start unwinding its massive $4.5 trillion balance sheet relatively soon if the economy moves along as expected. Again, that could be a bit of a dubious factor. This is a clear signal that the Fed will, in fact, start unwinding that gargantuan balance. It's made up of U.S. Treasuries and mortgage-backed securities sometime in the month of September. It also leaves the door open for one last rate hike, possibly in December. We've been talking about a quarter of a point sometime in December. You get the sense that Fed Chair Yellen would like to raise again this year, at least. But inflation just doesn't support it at the moment, so we're not likely to see anything here in the September timeframe. So the Fed needs to make a call on whether to put less stock in things like inflation or not. Right now, there does not appear to be a lot of inflation. The Fed is raising rates very, very slowly. This idea of unwinding what was their quantitative easing program all that money sitting on their balance sheet right now? See, if they start selling bonds and instruments into the open market, that's going to drive the prices down. You're going to have a lot of supply, or maybe even a glut of these treasuries and these mortgage-backed securities, you know, in the market. It drives the prices down, and that pushes the yields or dividend yields up. Now, some people might like the idea of dividend yields going up, but ultimately that means that the cost of money is going to rise in both the private as well as the public markets. And when that happens, it translates into monetary inflation. Some inflation is good if it reflects demand in the economy and growing economy. If it gives companies the ability to raise prices a little, we haven't seen a lot of pricing power at the corporate and the small business level. That would probably be a good thing, too, because that means that there's the opportunity for companies to increase salaries. So maybe household payroll can improve as well. U.S. Treasuries rose today. The 10-year yield around 2.31%, and the 2-year right around 1.36. 2.31% is historically low. These numbers are very, very low. And it's one of the things that explains if you have to go out 2 full years holding onto a treasury to get 1.36%, that explains to you why when banks and other institutions are purchasing for their own balance sheets, purchasing treasury bills that might be gauged out in weeks, not months or even years, then you can understand why they're paying very, very little on money markets and CDs themselves. Folks, this is Don Sower. It's halftime on the Money Talk program. I'm going to take a quick break, and then I'll be right back. So please stick around.
Welcome back. You know, for 25 years, he's never rolled over about fighting crime. Welcome, McGruff the Crime Dog.
Thanks, Joy. I got two words to make streets safer. Coffee cake.
Yeah, the crook eats the poison coffee cake. And
No. You invite neighbors over for a cup of coffee to discuss the problems on your street and what to do about them.
But still, a 10-pound cake dropped on a bad guy's foot could help.
Couldn't hurt. Going to WePrevent.org could help, too.
A message from the U.S. Department of Justice, Crime Prevention Coalition of America, National Crime Prevention Council, and the Ad Council.
Attention, property owners. This is David from Sampson Realty.
And this is Marty. If you're considering selling your property, then you should give us a call. We can help you come up with an asking price that makes sense.
Our experienced agents are very friendly and helpful and will assist you every step of the way.
So please call us at 401-454-5454, visit SampsonRealty.com, or just stop by our office at 346 Wickedon Street on Providence's East Side.
Thank you from Sampson Realty.
Don't do what I did and run out. If it's working, don't quit. Why would you stop?
Why undo all the good that's been accomplished?
You've got to feed them right for life.
Dynavite is nutrition.
If I ever took Roy off of Dynavite.
No.
When I get to about 3/4.
When I get down to the bottom of my box of Dynavite.
Oh, no. I've got a couple more scoops.
It's time to place my order. Dynavite.com.
DINOVITE.com.
859-428-1000.
Order a 90-day supply of Dynavite for your dog this week.
We'll send you a bottle of LicoChaps free.
New, improved LicoChaps with omega-6, omega-3, vitamin E.
And now 6 extra direct-fed microbials.
Even better for the digestive tract and immune system.
Try LicoChaps
free this week at Dynavite.com.
Just feed your dog right. Use Dynavite.
Dynavite for life.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
DINOVITE.com.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. Every day people ask me, Jay, did I miss out? Have the rates gone up? The answer is no. Rates are still low, and it's a perfect time to refinance your home, especially if your mortgage rate is higher than 4.25%. If you'd like to lower your interest rate and save thousands of dollars in interest without starting over on a new 30-year loan, a Quicken Loans Yorgage is what you're looking for. With our exclusive Yorgage, you can choose a term that works best for you, anywhere from 8 to 30 years. The rate today on an 8-year Yorgage is 3.25%, APR 3.75%. For 7 years in a row now, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation for customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. And for the 3rd year in a row, they've also ranked us highest in the nation for mortgage servicing. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com. That's 800-QUICKEN.
For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org, number 3030.
This is Money Talk with Don Sowa, exclusively on AM 790 Talk and Business.
And we're back with the Money Talk program. a lot of interesting questions come out of things. We're looking at the markets. We're looking at companies making pretty substantial profits on their overall business. But, you know, people look at the numbers. They look at the, you know, the announcements by the chief investment officers of these companies. And, of course, they look at the way the market reacts to the earnings numbers each quarter. And there is a pretty reasonable question that people ask. If, in fact, the stock market is itself a mirror of the economy, then how is it possible that companies can grow profits in the range of, say, 10% if the economy is growing at like 1.5 to 2%? I mean, can profits really grow in double digits in an economy that's just kind of grinding along? Now, that's the question that investors probably should be asking, or at least trying to understand part of. And instead, if you ignore these things, then maybe you're adding a little bit more risk to your strategy, your investment strategy, a little more risk than is necessary, or perhaps that's appropriate. Now, we've all heard the Wall Street bulls, you know, the mantra that they enjoy, endlessly advanced by a lot of analysts as well as market strategists who would just love to see the market go higher and higher and higher. I mean, who would have thought that you'd be looking at a Dow in the 21,000 plus range? But, I mean, it happens. But where I'm confident that a lot of these strategists and commentators are going to continue to try to gently ease the market higher. But with all these things in place, a renewed surge in profits will keep equity prices moving higher. But are the companies capable of doing that? How is it possible that if the economy is so lackluster? I'm not saying it's, I mean, we're not in a recession. I mean, it's growing, but it's lackluster. The term grinding keeps coming to mind. The current consensus among a lot of forecasters and analysts that reported S&P earnings per share will jump from 100.29 in quarter one of this year, based on the past four quarters, go from 100.29 up to 133 by the end of 2018. Now, that's an annualized increase of over 18%. Of course, these are those consensus forecasts. They're always going to be inflated a little bit, right? But even if we discount, you know, some projections, maybe discount them by as much as 40 to 45%, the bulls are still expecting about 10% gains in earnings per share over the seven quarters spanning from the second quarter of 2017 that we're looking at now right through to the fourth quarter of 2018. So from this period, we're looking at seven quarters, with those kind of very impressive double-digit growth numbers, growth in earnings. But recent history and projections from pretty much every agency, from the International Monetary Fund, IMF, to the Congressional Budget Office, which is the CBO, they seem to foresee what we've been talking about here on Money Talk for a while, and that is that gross domestic product, or GDP, is going to continue to grow in, say, the 2% range, or 4%, including projected inflation, well into the future. So how can the profits expand 6 points faster than the overall economy that drives the sales that largely determine the course of the profits themselves? Now, so it's clear that only long periods, growth in profits, and GDP are closely linked. But that's not necessarily the case in shorter time frames. And I think this may be a problem for some investors and for some analysts. The way in which earnings numbers are recorded, the way they're reported every quarter, the way the analysts analyze them, the way they try to read between the lines, is so speculative. But it's more importantly, it's so short-term in orientation that, you know, I think it creates this short-term mindset, which makes it very, very difficult for corporate CEOs and chief financial officers to actually plan out a meaningful strategy for the future of a lot of these publicly traded companies, because their stock price often determines the valuations placed on the company, the ability of the companies to raise cash for various projects and programs, and, of course, just the general pressure that the company is going to receive from the public and the financial media based upon these 90-day numbers, the achieving certain goals that are set out over a 13-week period, which is very, very unrealistic for a great many corporations. Now, if EPS or earnings per share are stuck well below the trend for maybe an extended period of time, earnings can very rapidly expand to regain their historic levels. But today, profits are hardly depressed right now. They're not really depressed. It's seemingly just the opposite. Two key metrics confirm that earnings are extremely high by historical standards. On average, now, by the way, remember what I just said. I didn't say that prices are extremely high. I said earnings are very high by historic standards. On average, corporate profits have averaged 7.5% of GDP since 1951. Again, 7.5% of GDP since 51. Today, they absorb 9.2% of national income. So how about profit margins? Well, they're pretty lofty, too. For the Fortune 500 companies, the ratio of profits to sales was 7.4% in 2016, more than 2 points higher than the average over the 64-year history of the list itself, in the fourth highest annual reading that we've seen. What that means is that the most likely outcome is that profits at best expand at less than thrilling rates of GDP. Now, what does that mean for the future of the stock prices, which is the most important part of all this? For those who don't follow all of the technical data and the metrics, the question is about speculating about the future. Let's assume that today's price-to-earnings ratio, PEs, which is really what you pay for a dollar of earnings. If you have a PE of 12, you're paying $12 for each dollar of earnings. So let's assume that today's price-to-earnings ratio remains at the current and perhaps extremely high, what's a range of, say, 18 to 24. Now, if you haven't heard that figure, that's the one in the books, the ratio of the current S&P 500 average of, say, 2,464 stocks in 12 months, reportedly annual earnings of about $100. In other words, what companies actually earn. The 18 multiple, more routinely cited, they're claiming is bogus. It's based on the Bluebird prognostication that forward profits will reach 133 in 7 quarters, which they consider to, they think that's mathematically difficult, if not impossible. But if you have a PE of nearly 24, the S&P is producing $4 of earnings for every 100 you spend on the stock. So you receive $1.90 of that $4 in dividends for a kind of a puny yield of about 1.9% yield. A constant PE of 24 or 25 predicts a total real return of the inverse of that ratio, or about 4%, a total return. In addition to the 1.9% dividend yield, the other 2.1% comes in the form of, say, profit gains that drive the equivalent capital gains. So the share prices are rising, the price of the shares rise, you're also receiving a 1.9% dividend, and that's where you get your 4% total return. Quite reasonable given what they have as current projections of economic growth. If economic growth is around 1.8 or less than 2%, then really a 4% growth for the stock market is not totally unrealistic. So regardless of how you look at it, the total comes to about 6% expectation if you add in a 2% inflation factor, which is right around what inflation has been over historic periods of time. There are periods in that, by the way, where there's a zero inflation for the year, but there's also periods where inflation is slightly higher. We're not seeing a whole hell of a lot of inflation right now. Now, that's nowhere near the double-digit future, you know, the earnings bulls are kind of projecting, but with the 10-year Treasury at around 2.33%, well, 6% is not bad, I guess, overall, if you're expecting about a 6% total return on your money. Or is it? The risks that future returns will fall far below your bench or our benchmark of 6% over the next decade, probably the possibility is greater than the chances that they'll exceed that amount. Since corporate profits are they're above historic averages right now, so the corporations have been doing better than we had anticipated they would, they could finish in 3 or 4 years right where they are today. Repeating the scenario since 2013, that's the danger signal flashed by the cyclically adjusted price earnings multiple, which is developed by Robert Shiller, which is a yardstick that smoothens out the peaks and the troughs in earnings to get a normalized PE ratio, normalized multiple. Profits, according to, he calls it the CAPE, they're above normal so far that the CAPE, adjusted PE, looms even higher than the 24 that they're mentioning here. Hey, folks, you're listening to the Money Talk program. Some complicated stuff, but we're trying to break it down a little bit into plain English, if at all possible. We're just letting you know that some of the projections out there are a little higher than some analysts are comfortable with. And we'll tell you what that means when I come back after this quick break. I'm Don Sowa. This is Money Talk. I'll be right back.
It's time for the Dunkin' Donuts Regional Traffic, brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. It's the summer of coffee at Dunkin'. Try a new s'mores frozen Dunkin' coffee, butter pecan iced coffee, or coconut cream pie cold brew today. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Well, wet roads making for some slow going for you right now. If you're on 95 north or south from Pawtucket down to Cranston in either direction, pretty heavy going for you there. Slow going on the bridges on 195 east and west. Heavier on the westbound side, though. You're slow from the Seekonk line in. Coming down 146 southbound, you're busy as you go by Branch Ave, tapping those brakes all the way into the merge with 95. Leaving town on 6 heavy all the way out to 10. Stays busy on 10 south down past Union Ave. I'm Rich Teeter with your right now traffic.
Sponsored by the Knee and Back Pain Helpline. Learn how an insurance-covered comfortable knee or back brace can reduce your pain. Call 800-888-KNEE, 800-888-KNEE.
There are those who dedicate themselves to a sense of honor, to a life of courage, and a commitment to something greater than themselves. They have always defended this nation and each other. They still do. The few, the proud, the Marines.
And here's my cell phone number, the number of the restaurant.
Honey, come on, he'll be fine.
The odds of a babysitter calling 911, 1 in 1,400. The odds of a child being diagnosed with autism, 1 in 150. Here are some of the signs. No big smiles or other joyful expressions by 6 months. No back and forth sharing of sounds or facial expressions by 9 months. And no babbling by 12 months. To learn more of the signs, visit autismspeaks.org. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Don't do what I did and run out. If it's working, don't quit. Why would you stop?
Why undo all the good that's been accomplished? You've got to feed them right for life.
Dynavite is nutrition.
If I ever took Roy off of Dynavite.
No, 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 no.
When I get to about 3/4.
When I get down to the bottom of my box of Dynavite.
Oh, no. I've got a couple more scoops.
It's time to place my order. Dynavite.com.
Dynovite.com.
859-428-1000.
Order a 90-day supply of Dynavite for your dog this week.
We'll send you a bottle of LicoChaps free.
New, improved LicoChaps with omega-6, omega-3, vitamin E.
And now 6 extra direct-fed microbials.
Even better for the digestive tract and immune system.
Try LicoChaps.
Free this week at Dynavite.com.
Just feed your dog right. Use Dynavite.
Dynavite for life.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
Dynovite.com.
This is Money Talk with Don Sowa, exclusively on AM 790 Talk and Business.
Welcome back to the Money Talk program. This is Don Sower on AM 790. Thanks for tuning in tonight. What we've been talking about in the last segment of the show is this idea that a marketplace, especially the one that we've seen since the November of 2016, really the election period to the present, that the types of, I even see it when a person comes in and we say, geez, you know, you're up about 7% year to date. And what they do is there's that tendency, it's halfway through the year, to annualize that number and say, oh boy, does that mean we're going to do 14% for the year? Well, remember that, first of all, the markets, when you're dealing with stocks and bonds and other types of investments, they never move in a straight line. So it's going to be a little bit more choppy than that. The other side of it, too, is that usually you get a bit of a pullback in the market sometime in the third quarter. And I'd say the September-October time frame is not a bad time to expect a little more volatility than average. So it's possible if, and this is not a prediction, by the way, but I'm just trying to give you an example so you can see what I'm talking about. It's possible that a portfolio today that's up 6 or 7% could, if you're properly allocated and have a decent blend between sectors, in other words, proper asset allocation based on risk and reward, you could be up 7. You may give back 2 or 3 of that in a pullback in the third quarter. But then November and December, as a typical historic time frame, may be a period of reward, a period of a pretty solid performance at year end. So you up 7, you drop 2, you're at 5, you end up, you could still easily be up 8% or better for the end of this year. Now, that's not a prediction. That's just letting you know, don't be at all shocked or surprised based upon where you are today, that at some point between now and the end of the year, you're going to see some pressure on your portfolio, especially if you own stocks. Now, how heavily weighted you are and exactly in which sectors you own those stocks or stock funds, that may have an impact on how you're affected. The S&P 500 could drop 5%, and you might only drop 2 or 2.5%. Again, depends on how you're allocated and where you're investing. There are, in fact, defensive areas of the market. You know, it's funny, somebody was asking me, well, what do you mean by defensive? I said, well, you know, there are areas of the economy and the market that do well even in a recession. Those would be considered defensive stocks or defensive companies. But companies like that make medical products, I would imagine companies like Johnson & Johnson, Walgreens and CVS, medical delivery type companies. You know, people are going to still buy their aspirins and their Band-Aids and all the things that they need to make themselves or their loved ones feel better. They'll spend their last dollar to make a child feel better. So those stores still provide a reasonably priced, reasonable place to spend even limited dollars during a downturn in the economy. People also tend to purchase even limited dollars, spend limited dollars, on things that simply make them feel a little bit better. You know, let's face it, it's been a tough day. So I want to do something for myself, maybe make me feel better. So would you be surprised if companies like Hershey or Nestle's or Cadbury and others, that they do tend relatively well in a recession? Chocolate, candy, Adolf Coors, Anheuser-Busch, they make money too. Alcohol is a place that some people will spend money, even if briefly, if they think it'll make them feel better. Now, there are people still go out to dinner once in a while, but they may downsize or downgrade the place that they might go to. They might choose a local family restaurant that's less expensive. Even fast food tends to do relatively well, even in a recession. It's not oftentimes, it doesn't fall into the category of discretionary spending, whereby a high-end expensive restaurant under a more affluent time, a positive time, may be a place where you spend your dollars, but you might still want to reward yourself or your family, make you feel a little bit better every once in a while to go out to dinner, even in a poor economic period. So the family restaurants tend to benefit from those. And there are restaurants that fall into a whole series of different categories. They are not always considered discretionary. Companies like Yum Brands, Y-U-M, that owns Taco Bell, and they also own Kentucky Fried Chicken, they are companies that don't tend to do very poorly. They don't do poorly in a recessionary period. So when you have economic struggles, economic stress, companies that actually make money and perform relatively well are considered defensive stocks. It's not at all unusual for some stocks that tend to continue to do well, like telecommunications utilities like AT&T, Verizon, others. It's not unusual that they also pay out a dividend. See, the stock prices may not always run up as much as a company deserves, but since they're making money and doing relatively well, they want to reward their stockholders, their shareholders, for being loyal, and so they pay them out some of their cash flow in the form of a dividend. Some of these defensive companies do relatively well in paying out dividends, and they pay a relatively high price, even higher than you can get in CDs, banks, and even treasury bills or treasury bonds. So one of the questions I did get was related to a person who was fortunate enough to get an inheritance from a brother who passed away. That was a sad part. But her question was, she was wondering, she had inherited about $100,000. She was concerned the money came into her, she took receipt of it in March of this year, was to how that was going to affect her tax returns. Well, the answer is it will not affect her tax return. An inheritance in that particular format, that type of a thing, is not viewed necessarily as a gift. If she had been gifted the money by a family member, a certain part of that would be perhaps exempted by gift tax rules. But the balance of it, probably on $100,000, $80,000 to $85,000 of it, would actually be taxed under the gift tax rules. But an inheritance is not. It's not taxable. So she was very pleased to know that that $100,000 this year will not have a real impact on her taxes when she does them as she moves into the new year. Another area that dealt with was a woman that was likely going to be taking money out of a reverse mortgage. She had executed the reverse mortgage and set up a line of credit with the lender. And only periodically, she didn't take out much money. She only took money out of the line of credit, which created the debt liability to her under the reverse mortgage. She only took it out when she actually needed the money for either an emergency or an opportunity. So she wasn't taking regular income from it. Now, there would have been some closing costs and some factors related to the original amount in the line of credit. But as far as adding to that balance, creating a larger balance of indebtedness on that reverse mortgage, that happens only when you actually drew the money out. But she wanted to know on those occasions when she does draw the money out, is that viewed as taxable income? And the answer is no. It's actually viewed as the advance on a loan, and it is not, in fact, taxable. And the good news also for her is that the bank doesn't come after her for payments of any kind on a reverse mortgage. When the house is eventually sold, either at an estate sale or sold by the owner, then the debt liability to the reverse mortgage holder will then apply. But along the way, you're just using the equity in your home to pay your bills and to hopefully enhance the quality of your life. Not a bad thing and not a tax liability. Hey, folks, thanks so much for tuning in tonight. Tune in tomorrow night. Steve Bovee will be here closing out the week here on AM 790, your home of talk and business. This is Money Talk.